Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Akhbayi. The big day, Friday, June 14. That's when Iranians will be casting their ballots at over 60,000 polling stations across the country in the nation's 11th presidential election. Now, it's a choice between six candidates that the Iranians are going to be looking at. And these are very exciting times. In this debate, we're going to be looking at whether there will be a runoff and why these elections not only matter to Iran so much at this juncture in time, but also to the entire world.
It's campaign silence in Iran on the eve of the key presidential election. Tens of millions of eligible voters are preparing to go to the polls on Friday to choose their next president. These are the scenes from Tehran's streets in the late hours of Wednesday, when campaigning by the six candidates created heavy traffic jams across the city. And campaign silence officially came into force at 8 in the morning on Thursday. The latest opinion polls show that the election will probably go to a runoff. According to Iran's electoral law, if no candidate receives just over 50% of the votes in the first round, a runoff must be held within a week. Authorities have said the initial result will be out within 7 hours after the polls have closed. And the Guardian Council, which supervises the election process, must approve the results within 7 to 10 days. Opinion polls show more than 60% of eligible voters will take part in the presidential vote.
Well, a lot to cover regarding these elections. Let me introduce our guests for this edition of The Debate. We have Eric Dreitzer, who joins us. He's from StopImperialism.com. And also Richard Hellman, who joins us. Gentlemen, welcome. Eric Dreitzer, let me start off with you. These elections, obviously very important, but not according to the way the Western media is portraying them. You have comments ranging from one of the same U.S. politicians, in addition to have criticized the election process in terms of its democratic voting that is taking place there. But Iran does matter to the West, in particular to the U.S., doesn't it, in terms of oil production, in terms of the reach to the Muslim world. Why is it that they're being so critical of these presidential elections?
Well, part of the reason is because it is an absolutely essential fact of Western propaganda that Iran has to be depicted as a tyranny, as a dictatorship, as the quintessential evil country in the world. Never mind the fact that the criticisms that they make of the Iranian electoral process are precisely the same criticisms that we here in the United States make of our own so-called democratic system and our own so-called electoral process. One of the primary criticisms that they level against Iran is the notion of vetting of candidates, as if the electoral system in the United States is not precisely that. You cannot run for president in the United States unless you can raise $1 billion or more, unless you've been vetted by finance capital and major corporations. No candidate is allowed into the major national races unless they've gone through all of that process. So the criticisms that they level against Iran, I would say, are baseless and hollow and superficial. But in answer to the second part of the question, yes, absolutely, Iran's elections do matter, and that's precisely the reason why the issue is suppressed in the Western media. Here in the West, they don't want people believing that issues in Iran changed the trajectory of foreign policy. They want to believe that Iran is a monolithic country that is not capable of changing its policy without some kind of Western-initiated regime change, which is, of course, laughable, but that's the narrative that's portrayed in the West, and that's why the elections are not part of the narrative.
Let's go with that last notion that you put forward there, because that has been one of the goals, even though at points it's been understated, but more vocal under the Obama administration. Richard Hellman, let's refer to a Gallup poll. It's a reputable survey agency there in the States. It is said that most Iranians, this is on a 2012 Gallup poll, most Iranians say the U.S.-led sanctions have hurt their livelihoods, but they're blaming the United States for the impacts of the sanctions. And they also said that Iran should continue with their civilian nuclear program. Kind of puts into question the effectiveness of these U.S. sanctions, doesn't it?
Oh, I think undoubtedly the sanctions, while perhaps necessary and a part of an approach to stopping Iran from creating nuclear weapons to carry out the threats of genocide from the rulers, from the Ayatollahs and the and President Ahmadinejad and other leaders of Iran, the documented their documented threats to eliminate what they call the Zionist entity, Israel, and more. And there, last year it was documented that there were more terror attacks perpetrated by Iran's regime throughout the world than in any previous year. So clearly freedom is on the march in the Middle East and around the world, but it's not clear whether in these elections it has reached Iran, whether anyone can stand up in the street corner or in a town square in Tehran or another Iranian city and say anything they want. For example, if they can proclaim a Christian belief or a Baha'i belief without being arrested. And so clearly Iran is not free today, but we pray and hope that the Iranian people will be freed and that either through these elections or otherwise that they will throw off the fanatic Ayatollahs and the theocracy that really rules Iran and will come into the 21st century, and that Iran and America and even Iran and Israel and other nations will be on a friendly basis. This is our hope and our prayer. And if it comes through these elections, thank God. If it comes another way, well, we shall see. But freedom cannot be stopped, and freedom will come to Iran and liberty, and we just pray that that day is soon.
And, okay, let me get a reaction. Thank you for that. Let me get a reaction from Eric Greitzer. Eric Greitzer, the notion of freedom, democracy, as Richard Hellman says, coming to Iran, the notion of regime change coming to Iran. You know, we're looking at the United States trying to enforce these types of ideologies, and yet not only have they been engaged in wars in the Middle East and Iraq, coming to Asia, Afghanistan. We can mention what's going on in Syria. There's not a good track record of what America has done in its either reshaping of the Middle East in terms of the map, so-called map, or in terms of their interfering in the domestic affairs of these countries. So what stance does the U.S. have? Where does the mutual respect come into place when this notion of regime change, for example, keeps coming into play?
Well, there is no notion
I,
of mutual
respect. I did not use
respect,
the word
so just kind of
regime. I didn't use the word regime change.
That's what I heard, Richard Hellman. But okay, fine. Let's take that out of the equation.
Fact,
Eric Deitzer, go ahead.
I never spoke of regime change. What I want to see is that the United States have a firm policy in favor of respect for internationally recognized human rights, including rights of Christians and rights of Baha'is and rights of Sunnis and rights of Shias and rights of every religion and every ethnic group. That's what we want to see come into play, but it must come from inside the country. It can't be imposed by anyone from outside. That's clear.
Well, it seems like that's what America is
so
doing.
It's up to the Iranian people.
Let Eric Greitzer come in and speak. Go ahead, Eric Greitzer, go ahead.
It's up to the Iranian people. It's up to the Iranian people through their elections or through whatever other means they have to throw off the fanatical Ayatollahs and their brutal reign over Iran and through them their meddling in the conflict
okay. Richard Hellman,
we got
to give our other guests a chance to speak. Eric Greitzer, go ahead. You can jump in, Eric Greitzer.
This has to change.
So I would say that although the guest in Washington is saying that he didn't use the actual words regime change, that is precisely what is implied. If we look at the various forms of subversion and indirect and soft power warfare being waged against Iran, we can see that this is very much part of the agenda. The sanctions are not intended to hurt the regime. They're intended to hurt the Iranian people so that the Iranian people become so upset and discontented that they rise up against the government. This is the standard operating procedure for imperial powers, and it has been for decades. So, you know, I mean, we could dance around the subject, but people who would agree with the guest in Washington are in favor of regime change, lest we take a look at recent legislation put forward in the United States by Representative Dana Rohrabacher, which is precisely that. It is a legislation for destabilization of both Iran and Pakistan through the Balochistan region under the cover of so-called self-determination. Now, returning to the main issue, though, the fact of the matter is the United States, like the other imperial powers, particularly its partner in Israel, the United States is attempting to destabilize Iran and delegitimize the elections. And what we see is that there are very real divides in Iran that need to be taken account of. For instance, we have issues like serious inflation and serious unemployment, which are severely hampering the working class and the poor in Iran. We hear reports of what the sanctions have done to medicine, to health care, to various other surgical instruments and so forth, to the point where we hear reports of working class Iranians who have to sell medication to affluent Iranians in order to put food on the table. So these are the issues that are central in Iran in this election. And all of this talk about what the United States gets to dictate to Iran is complete nonsense. This is the mentality of imperialism. It is deeply embedded in the United States and within the U.S. ruling class and the Zionist establishment. And I mean, that is what we need to understand. We cannot pretend that here in the United States we look at Iran as if it's through some sort of an objective lens. Iran is part of a grand imperial strategy, and Iran is one of the linchpins of that strategy. So what the United States is interested in is not democracy. It's not anything other than regime change for the purposes of extending its hegemony.
Well, let's look at some of the candidates. We got to do that. Richard Hellman, I don't know if you followed any of the candidates and their profiles, but, you know, there's some statements coming out. We have a Mr. Rouhani who has vowed to replace extremism with moderation. Mr. Velayati, we need to repair our relations with the world. Rouhani, he has talked about of interaction with the world. Other candidates, Iran needs to create good relations with the international community. Shouldn't there be an openness from the U.S. in terms of giving that these notions, which comes with the territory of repairing the relations with the world, as to perhaps lead onto negotiations? And of course, at the top of the list, I would assume from the West and U.S.'s perspective, is the issue of Iran's civilian nuclear program.
Well, certainly there are differences of rhetoric and different statements being made by the various candidates for president of Iran. And we have to just wait and see. It's not appropriate for someone outside of Iran to pick and choose candidates. That's for the Iranian people to do. But obviously, the Iranian people only get the candidates which the Ayatollahs approve as being able to run. Now, contrary to anything else that might be said,
as opposed to what happens in the States, I got to jump in and ask you that. What about the United States then? How does that work there?
Yes, wait a second.
The Electoral College.
Tell
us a little bit about that and tell us how that works. Fundamentally undemocratic, isn't it?
I'm telling you, yeah. You can, I'm trying, if you be quiet, I will. I just was about to say, in the United States, you or I can run for president. Anybody can file and run for president, and the same in Israel. There are people in Israel who are on the verge of becoming prime minister who weren't even known of in the past because these are free countries. But there is no supreme ruling council, as in Iran, to approve which candidates may run. And
well,
you got
the Electoral College. Let us have our American counterpart in New York explain that. Eric Grazer, why don't you explain this system that Mr. Hellman there says in states is democratic but not in Iran?
America is free and Israel is free.
Eric Grazer is going to explain that.
Iran is not free. And so, you know, if you like the Ayatollahs telling everyone what to do, then you'll like Iran today.
As opposed to that not being dictated to the Americans, there are only two parties being represented. Eric Grazer, I'm in Iran.
No,
you're in New York. You can explain that to Richard Hellman.
Eric, it's not dictated. It's not dictated in the United States.
Right, Eric, go ahead. You can jump in.
Despite your left wing.
So
Despite your outdated. Vietnam
okay.
era,
I understand. I understand
propaganda.
The position. I understand your argument. What
States.
I'm going to say is that
Richard Hellman,
Eric, were you born in the United States?
Eric Grazer, go ahead.
I want to ask him. Born in the United States?
If I could answer the question,
Eric,
the main issue here is the fact. Okay, if you will stop interrupting me, yes, I was born in the United States. Now, if I could answer the question, the issue that we're facing is whether or not the criticisms... Whether or not the criticisms that are leveled against the Iranian system of elections, whether or not those criticisms are valid. Some criticisms are valid, just as they are against any electoral system anywhere in the world, whether it's in Africa or South America or in the United States. Now, despite the rhetoric and the constant droning talking points, if we look at the elections of 2000, if we look at the elections of 2004 even, we see tremendously in the United States the fact that the electoral system, the electoral process, is a rigged game. We all know this, despite what you might want to say. We understand that the elections in the United States are designed to put puppets in power that execute the agenda of the military-industrial complex and finance capital. This is all well understood. Now, coming back to the issue that we were discussing here on this show, and that is the elections in Iran and the various candidates, what we see is the continued divide that exists in the Iranian establishment, the so-called principalists and the so-called reformists. Now, since we've had the withdrawal of the candidate Aref, it seems that the reformist element inside of Iran is consolidating its efforts behind Rouhani. At least that's what we can see in terms of the endorsement from the from Khatami and his faction. Now, this is not to say that Rouhani is the quintessential reformist. I think that in many ways he's more of a centrist than a reformist. But that being said, he represents that faction. Now, the major infighting is going to be among the main principalist candidates. And among those, of course, Jalili, as well as Velayati and others. And the distinctions and the differences between them are important. Jalili, of course, takes a slightly more aggressive position vis-a-vis the nuclear negotiations and relations with the United States. We've also seen, for some reason, some here in policy circles in the United States who seem to be saying that Kalibaf represents some kind of a reformist tendency, though I don't really know that I agree with that estimation. My point is that the factions that are represented within the Iranian electoral system are important to recognize, and they have a tremendous bearing on the direction of Iranian foreign policy. Now, with respect to the United States, we understand that the attitude towards Iran is an imbalanced one, that it has no interest in electoral integrity or democracy or anything of that nature. It is interested in subversion and domination. That is what we've seen over the last 5, 7, 10 years, and that is what will continue until there is a real democratic upsurge in the United States. We're fond of talking about liberty and democracy going all over the world. How about we bring it back to the United States?
Very well. Let's take a quick time out. We've had so many viewer comments coming on this topic of the debate. We're going to take a listen to one of them right now.
No matter how you stand by your people, so as long as you are against imperialism, you are undemocratic to the West. If you can go by Western ideology, no matter how oppressive you are to your people, all good will be said about you by the Western media. In summary, they are hypocritical. A best model of Islamic democracy visible to mankind so far in this age. Iran is on the top with equal opportunities to all other sects and free and fair elections where every ballot counts. Who cares about what the Western imperialist countries say? What are the necessary qualifications to be a president of the US? A puppet for pro-Israeli lobby AIPAC, bankers and the military industry. Iran is the heart of the anti-imperialist bloc in the Middle East. Wrong on the first step. The vetting process of presidential candidates by the Guardian Council is not fair.
Just some of the viewer comments there as posted on our Facebook page. Richard Hellman, I'd like to come back to you. Richard Hellman, no matter how you look at the whole presidential election, aside from the fact that we've had over 60% attendance and voting taking place, which is more than what has happened in your country, Iranians, whether they want it or not, whether they like the candidates or not, no matter what, they love their land. And they don't have a very good impression of what the U.S. has done regarding the sanctions. Obama came out in 2008 and talked about I'm going to open up 2009. Let's offer Iran a new beginning. Diplomatic gestures, yet some of the strictest sanctions imposed in 2012. What does that say about where the U.S. wants to go forward in terms of relations with Iran?
Well, the problem is that the regime in Tehran is an imperialist regime, and it reaches its tentacles into Syria and into Lebanon through Hezbollah and into Gaza through Hamas and even into the Western Hemisphere, into South America through its proxies. And so I don't believe that's what the Iranian people want or what they want to see their government do, but perhaps the candidate who succeeds in this election, after the whole process has worked out, will change Iranian policy. Frankly, I don't think the sanctions work because they're full of holes, and the U.S. gives exemptions, so to speak, from laws for other countries that want to deal with Iran. So I don't believe Iran is in any way crippled. In fact, it's the mismanagement and corruption and kleptocracy and Ayatollahocracy of Iran that's causing its economy to be bankrupt and its people to suffer, not the U.S. or international sanctions. So we hope for a better government for Iran from free elections, and we hope that we're glad that so many Iranians vote, that 60% of the eligible voters vote. That's excellent. And so we hope that either through elections or otherwise, the Iranian people will have the government that they want, that they need, and that they deserve. As
okay.
I said at the beginning,
I got a couple minutes left. I need to get to Eric Graetzer. I'm sorry to jump in. Eric Graetzer,
The wave of freedom is blowing, and it will come to Tehran, and Iran will change as well, I'm sure, good for the people through their own actions.
I understand what you mean by that, but looking at 2008, when you talk about the mismanagement, we could look at the U.S. as being the epicenter. Eric Graetzer, Iran's nuclear impasse. Do you think with the new administration, you just mentioned some of the candidates, obviously you're keeping up to date with their profiles, do you think this impasse is going to be resolved with this incoming administration?
You know, that's a difficult question, and I think it's really the million-dollar question at the moment, because we've seen statements from the various candidates, which I think do really represent differing opinions on policy when it comes to dealing with the U.S. and the nuclear issue. The question about whether or not it'll be resolved is impossible to say. If Jalili were to win the election and he were to follow through with his position of taking a more conservative, more hardline approach towards the United States, then I don't think we're going to see any changes. But I think it's important also to remember that the course of these negotiations is dictated by the United States and by Israel. The P5 plus one talks, which we saw whether they were taking place in Russia or elsewhere, were always under the auspices of the United States, and preconditions always needed to be put in place. What we've seen the United States do is have a repeated pattern of subverting these talks, not because they don't necessarily want to have a resolution, but because it benefits them politically, diplomatically, and geopolitically to continue this back and forth shadow game when it comes to negotiations. The real story with regard to the Iranian elections is not even so much what the outcome is going to be, it's whether or not there's going to be any real change within Western policy towards Iran, because Iran has already made the possibility, or at least raised the possibility, of conceding the question of 20% uranium enrichment and various other specific. With regard to this, the Iranians have shown at least a willingness rhetorically to compromise. The United States has not. So the question remains whether or not the nuclear negotiations can move forward based upon U.S. preconditions. And I think that is one of the fundamental questions. And I return to the most critical point of all. This is a war against the Iranian people. That is what it is. The sanctions against Iran, just like the 1990s sanctions against Iraq, were designed to destroy the base of support of the political system itself, and it is doing so by
exacerbating
child mortality, killing children, and so forth.
Founder of StopImperialism.com, talking to us from New York. And thank you very much, Richard Hellman. He's the president of the Middle East Research Center, talking to us from Washington. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Any questions, comments, suggestions, newsroom@pacific.ir. That's our email address. From me, Kavitha Hawaii, and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.